and they can really punish you for it.
Fayetteville State, you know, they're never sexy, but they win.
Sometimes we have to eat our crow. And I got to eat my crow this week, okay?
Doom alert. Yeah, we're back at Heartbreak Hotel, and we're checking back in.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. It's HBCU Game Day, the D2 football show, and we are officially in week zero. Thank you, everybody, who is tuned in, whether you are on YouTube or you are on Twitter, as we have invited you guys into it. We like the followers that are on Twitter, but we prefer the kind on YouTube. So please, whatever you are, please make sure you hit the like button so we get this stream up and running. And Chris, man, how you doing today, man? We're finally to game week. Does it feel real to you?
It feels real to me because I'm having to do a lot of research and figure out what's going on and watch rosters get uploaded in real time.
Yes, yes. The week of roster drop that you get in D2 HBCU football. I mean, these guys have held on to things like it was their last crumb. So, you know, it's like they're on it like Pookie and New Jack. They were not trying to give it up. But here we are. We've got some rosters. We got games. We got, I think you would say, a little bit of everything, right? I mean, we've got interconference battles between CIAA schools and SIA schools. We've got SIAC schools and taking on some of the D2 powers. We got CIAA versus SIAC matchups popping off. Pretty much everything you could want for this first ever week zero of D2 football. And there would be no D2 football, no week zero of D2 football without HBCUs. I think that's pretty important for folks to understand how that happened, Chris.
Yeah, week zero really came about, through a vote with the NCAA and the member schools and everything. And it's important to note that, like, it was pretty close in terms of the vote of whether we would even have a week zero or not. And so I think people now are sort of embracing what is week zero now. Week zero is basically allows you to play 11 games in 12 weeks. And so it allows teams to get a bye week somewhere in the season. So quite a few schools across the Division II landscape have decided to embrace week zero and use that rest somewhere in the season. Of course, in the CIAA, it's important to note that, like with St. Augs not fielding a team, that some teams actually will have an opportunity maybe for multiple breaks. They start the season a little later and they still have a bye week and play in less games. But the purpose of week zero really was to give opportunities for better scheduling in addition to that bye week.
Yeah. Just a year ago, a little bit over a year and a half ago, we reported that on HBCU Game Day that the SIC and the CIAA were trying to have a postseason game. A week zero game, but that game was ruled out by the NCAA by the old rules. And so they pushed forward and got another couple of Division II schools, Division II conferences to go along with them. And now we have a week zero extravaganza for everyone, which I think, you know, Chris, you've always been a proponent of, talked about how a lot of the other leagues have had bye weeks previously. And the CIAA has not due to CIAA and SIC haven't due to their emphasis on the championship game. So, yeah, well, it's here. It's a reality. And, yeah, for the CIAA, I don't know that anybody – well, maybe somebody knew. Maybe Benita Best knew, that some shout out to the one and only Benita Best from the Triangle Tribune. We'll have to get her on here one of these days. Maybe she knew that there would be no St. Aug football in 2020. Or at that time, but, you know, again, for the teams in the CIAA South, definitely it's made things interesting. You talk about bye weeks, so then now it's interesting who has a bye week, who doesn't. I know Winston-Salem, you know, they said that they scheduled this game against Bluefield State, which we will talk about because there has been quite a bit of talking between those two programs. They said that they scheduled this game because of St. Aug and the things that they were going through. So they got a next game against the CIAA team. Other schools, Fayetteville State, Livingstone, could not. So here we are, 7-game schedule there in the CIAA. But this is the D2 HBCU football show on HBCU Game Day. So we welcome everybody who's watching, again, whether you're watching on Twitter or YouTube. We appreciate you guys here. We cover both the CIAA and the SIAC. And this is one of the weeks where we truly get a bit of a crossover. So let's get right into it, Chris. We're going to start over in the SIAC. We are going to start with this coaching. We'll start with the coaching matchup because, again, we literally, in a lot of cases, just got rosters. In some cases, we're probably still waiting on rosters for teams in the D2 leagues. But you look at this. I look at the battle of the coaches first. We look at Teddy Keaton. We obviously know what he has done over what he's done over at Allen University prior last year, getting those guys to go 7-3, major accomplishment. And then before that, he worked his magic over at Stillman College when they were in the SIAC as well. So he's not new to the conference, but he is new in this space, and he's going up against one of guys, I guess one of now the old heads. One of the gray beards of this SIAC, if you can believe that now, Sean Gibbs coming into his third year. What are your thoughts on this matchup, Chris, as we'll see a contender versus somebody? Some people say, hey, maybe Clark Atlanta will be contender, whether you consider that rat poison or not.
Well, I mean, what you kind of have here is a game that features two of the top quarterbacks in the SIAC. You know, we've talked a lot about David Wright III on the show and what he can do in the passing game. But, you know, you also have Kelvin Durham over at Fort Valley, who was sort of up and coming, you know, had an okay season, kind of overshadowed by some of the other signal callers in the conference. But nonetheless, here you have, you know, really two teams that, yeah, one is a known quantity, and the other one, yeah, there's a lot of pieces that we know, but it's Clark. I mean, there's still a lot of rebuilding that has to be done to make that team, you know, likely competitive with the top of the conference. I think the difference maker is probably going to be that Fort Valley's got more balance. They've got Brandon Marshall, running back, rushed for over 950 yards a season ago. That kind of takes some of that pressure off of Durham. And I think you're looking at something like that that could make the difference in a game like this against Clark.
Yeah. Also, it has now been renamed Blark Atlanta by our friend Nick Eden for the red turf. So, yeah, didn't get a chance to see it while I was down in Atlanta this past weekend for the MEAC SWAC, but did see it the last time I was down there. So it's definitely the Thundercats will be loose. I guess it's kind of a meeting of the cats too. So there was no Wildcat. I guess Wally and the two kids were Wildcats. So anyway, shout out to my Thundercat fans. Were you a Thundercat fan, Chris?
No, I knew of them. I was not a Thundercat fan, no.
Chris, man, not even the Toonami version? Like when we were in middle school, you didn't know?
I was a nerd. I was in books. I mean,
Thundercats is kind of nerdy. You know, if you think about it, but okay, we will go on. We got to get you up on it. It's the greatest cartoon of all time. It really is. The greatest action cartoon. I don't care what anybody says. I know there's some X-Men fans out there, you know, Marvel, but Thundercats over everybody. All right, we go on. We will take now. I'll go back to the birthplace of Black college football, the place where they're calling it the Miracle on Monroe, and that would be Livingstone College. They are one of the few HBCU, well, one of several, who are playing this year, this week zero, hosting it against a PWI. Yes, Panthro was definitely black. They wasn't trying to see Panthro. That's why Mumra tried to get rid of Panthro. But we'll have to get into that at some other point. But yeah, Livingstone. Back to Livingstone. The Blue Bears coming off of a 4-6 season. They're hosting Charleston. We know a little bit about Livingstone. We'll talk about them. But tell us about Charleston. Who is Charleston? What should we know about them? Where are they located? Which Charleston? Let us know a little bit about that.
So Charleston is located in Charleston, West Virginia. It's a private school. So if you know where West Virginia State is, it's basically really close to them. They are rivals.
All right. Think you guys seen? Okay, you guys are just seeing me. I think Chris may be experiencing a little bit of latency there. You back? Okay.
I guess my internet, I don't know. It's weird.
Hey, look, trust me, you know, I've been there. But go ahead. So you were talking about how they were kind of rivals, Charleston's kind of rivals with West Virginia State, who won't come to play CIAA teams, but that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, they're one of the top teams in the Mountain East Conference. Look to be that way again this year. Probably one of the biggest things, if you're a Fayetteville State fan, you know about Barry Elliott. He went to Charleston before he transferred to Fayetteville State and had a pretty good season with the Broncos. And this year, they probably have one of the top running backs in Division II, and Shavon Wright really had a great season last year. They're known to be a high-scoring offense. They're pretty consistent in the last few years as an up-and-coming power in the Mountain East. And so that's a little bit about Charleston, and Livingstone's definitely going to have their hands full this upcoming Saturday.
Okay, so you say they are going to have their hands full. Well, let's see. We don't have a roster for Livingstone, do we?
We kind of do.
We do.
Okay. Yeah, still trying to I think they're still trying to get it uploaded, but I think, you know, one of the things that really stands out is, you know, their most productive quarterback from a season ago is now gone. And so now it's like, what do you really do? That's a real question mark. And supposedly looking at this roster, it looks like Kevin Larkins is back. You know, he was the CIAA Rookie of the Year on defense in 2022. He had 8 interceptions, which was phenomenal as a true freshman.
That guy's back.
Yeah, he went to Kentucky, and supposedly, you know, if the roster is reading right, he's back. And that really, you know, stands out if that's truly the case. You know, that's one piece of the puzzle. You've got some really good wide receivers that are still at Livingstone as well. Their top receiver transferred to the FCS, but you got Devontae DeLoach, Angel Carrillo. Those guys are pretty fun to watch. You know, the issue with Livingstone, I mean, there's definitely going to be questions about depth and experience, especially when you match up against a team like Charleston. It's great the fact that they got Charleston to travel to them. I guess that's a home and home. So I certainly applaud them for scheduling a game like this.
So would you say this was an ambitious schedule?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's see. So let's see what we will go to the almighty Massey ratings and let's see what they say. So yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Massey would agree that this is an ambitious schedule as well. So Massey has this game. They have Livingstone as a 28 point underdog. They've got Charleston winning this game 41-13. Even though Livingstone is at home on the blue turf, 94% win percent chance of winning for Charleston. They've got their work cut out for them. If they win this game, it would clearly be a major upset and it would say a lot. How do you feel about that Massey score? Do you feel like, what are your thoughts on that? I actually may be going to this game, so.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. You know, Livingstone finds a way to be kind of competitive, but in games like this, but I think the problem is just going to be finishing drives. I'm really curious as to how they would do that, especially with, you know, a running game that wasn't really there a year ago, you know, trying to control the clock. And so I think that's a reasonable score. They're not going to get shut out. They got enough talent to not get shut out. And I think, you know, 13 points is reasonable here. I certainly would like to see them. If they manage to get this game to within 28 points, I think that's encouraging to me.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll hear from some of the Blue Air fans. I'm sure they'll be looking to do better than that. There's first of 7 home games for those guys. So it'd be very interesting. We go back down to the SIAC. We've got Edward Waters, the darling, last year's darlings. Well, I guess it would be between them and Allen, the darlings of the SIAC versus Morehouse, the disappointment of the SIAC football world. You know, again, Edward Waters, you know, I have you seen a roster from them? I know they've gone through an SID change. So shout out to them, though. They usually do a really great job. And then obviously Morehouse, first year head coach in Terrence Mathis, former NFL player, looking to do, you know, looking to turn that school around. Any thoughts on Edward Waters? Obviously, they come in with a lot of momentum last year, the Cardiac Cats. Do you think that there will be any need for last second heroics in this game? What's your read on EWU?
Well, I sure hope not. I mean, that's a major step back, even in week one. I mean, yeah, they at least got Johnny Jones coming back, who was a preseason selection for the SIAC. And quite a few tools to work with on offense. I mean, you're kind of going up against a Morehouse team that just seemed, you know, bombed out and depleted. Not really a whole lot to show for last season. So, man, that's a rebuild job right now. Gosh, if Edward Waters they struggle against Morehouse, it might be a long season for them. So. Yeah, I'm not looking for this to be a close game.
Well, you and Mr. Massey or Miss Massey, you know, have a difference of opinion here because they see this game as an Edward Waters win, but marginally, Chris, less than a field goal. They've got it 28.
Wow.
28-26. So either they're thinking that, you know, Edward Waters was faking the funk last year or that Morehouse, you know, has gotten better because, I mean, you know, they are on a one game wins. I guess you can't really have a streak until you get two, but they have a one game win. So there's that. As we go on, we will look at another game. And this is another one of the type of games we talked about, Chris. We've got Albany State taking on Valdosta State. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Obviously this is one of the D2 blue bloods versus one of the blue bloods of the SIAC, Albany State. Just, you know, talk to me about Valdosta State. For those who have been under a rock, and oh good Lord, if they weren't watching HBCU football in 2012 and all the other years where they ruined the great HBCU teams. I hate Valdosta State. fake VSU. There's other things I call them. But anyway, go ahead, Chris. You tell me Valdosta State, because I think you're familiar with this program and now this school, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's only one VSU in these circles, and that's Virginia State. So there's that. So, you know, Valdosta, his head coach is Tremaine Jackson, who is a HBCU grad.
No relation to the Jacksons, we don't think.
Yeah. So it was a big deal when he got hired into that program. You know, they had a really rough first year. That was the year that VUU actually went down to Valdosta and beat them at their own game. It was like the first win by HBCU against Valdosta in a pretty long time. Since then, last season, that was 2 seasons ago, last season, you kind of saw what Tremaine has been able to do with the ability to sort of recruit and build program the way he wants to build it. And it all started with quarterback Sammy Edwards, who ended up being, you know, Harlan Hill candidate, really, really prolific passer. And so You know, Valdosta is a team that last season, a lot of offense, really struggled on defense. And I think you kind of saw early in the season that they were still trying to figure themselves out when they played Albany. You know, it was a very tight game, and it was a game that really the Golden Rams could have won. It was wow, it was like really cool. 2016, I mean, that was winnable at the end, and they just couldn't pull it off.
Yeah, so that was only first year for head coach Quinn Gray, and so he figures to have some more things together. You expect you see a jump between years one and two. Doesn't always happen that way, but Chris, it looks like the let's see what Massey thinks of this. So Massey does not think the Masseys are not in the favor of Albany State. They have them, even though they have Albany State as a 24-point underdog. So there's a little motivation for you, 24-point underdog. You know, again, you know, for Coach Jackson, you don't want to lose too many of those HBCU games. You know, unfortunately, when you're the first black coach of a whole conference, Gulf South. So, you know, that's the unfortunate reality that he faces there. But hey, you know, it's go time. And again, you guys are watching the HBCU Game Day D2 football show. We do this every week during football season, myself and Chris K. Ferg. So I said it a little bit earlier. Look, we appreciate the comments and compliments. We love the super chats, you know, so we can, you know, make sure we get Chris a ham sandwich or something like that, man, you know, because he definitely gives a lot of his time and effort with us, as he does with D2Football.com. So definitely appreciate everybody who's hopping in the comments. Let us know what HBCUs you're representing. I see we got 172 in the chat, which is great. Please let us know where. Just hop in and let us know who you're representing. And so we'll know kind of who we need to focus on because, you know, everybody won't get talked about every week. So there's that. All right, we'll go to our next game, and that is a CIAA matchup. There's no North and South anymore, so it's not a crossover anymore. And they are both in North Carolina. Probably the closest team to Elizabeth City State, and that is Shaw Elizabeth City State University. And, Chris, what are your thoughts on this game? This was a game I think last year kind of went down to the wire over at ECSU. And then, now they will be coming back across not across the water, but very interesting. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, so last year you saw Shaw race out.
All right, it looks... All right, guys, just one second. It looks like our producer is yelling at me. That means I did something wrong. So give us just a second here. Cole, yeah. Technical difficulties, you know, the wonders of live YouTube.
I guess they don't want to hear about this game.
It's a conspiracy, Coach Jones. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the hard part about this game is that there's so many unknowns, particularly with Elizabeth City. I mean, you got a new offensive coordinator. Who's going to pass the ball? Who knows? I mean, is Chase Williams really the answer? I don't think so. There are some losses on defense. They lost their two wide receivers. And it's the same with Shaw. Shaw, they you know, they had a lot of injuries. You don't have Sidney Gibbs, so who's going to run the ball? You got Belcher at wide receiver. It's great. You got quite a few pieces coming back on defense. I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game. It's not going to be a sexy watch at all. But, I mean, if you like football, if you like defense, it's great. It'll probably be a great game to watch.
Yeah, you're gonna sell a lot of tickets over there to Durham County Stadium with that description, Chris. But you know, I saw both. Well, I did not see Shaw in person last year. I did see ECSU. They had a couple transfer portal losses as well. So you just don't know. I know I did hear a little bit earlier, and I'm definitely not going to tempt fate and make Kobe pull out what would be left of his hair anyway by pulling out this clip. But I did see Coach Jones talking about the respect that he has for Coach Hilliard and the program that he's been building over there. And so, you know, that is going to be a game where it – well, Chris, you know, you said that it's going to be not a lot of offense, but do you consider 27-20 – would that be an offensive explosion for these teams?
I think so. I think the first to 20 wins.
Okay. First to 20 wins. So they have Massey has Shaw 27-20 winning over Elizabeth City. So 8-point spread there. 46.5 is the point total. Chris, how would you be betting for that?
Under.
Okay. Okay.
Under.
yeah under the sea. So next up we go back to the SIC, and this is another one of these matchups against a PWI that has had some success. I think they've had, I know a lot of the directional Alabamas have had success. Is West Alabama one of them that's had success as well?
Some. I mean, oh, okay. They've been kind of up and down, but they're traditionally middle of the road.
Okay. So they've got Miles College. You know, Miles had a really great year, had a good year last year. Coach Sam Shade and his team got back to, you know, kind of the Miles where Coach Ruffin had them, not quite, but close to there, where they were competing for the SIC championship, had a chance to get in there and didn't get in there. A lot of people feel like, hey, maybe they are the team to beat in the SIC this year. How much, tell us about West Alabama, what they bring, and how much of this would, and how much, if they win the game, how much should we take out of this as far as their ability to win the SIC and maybe more from this game?
Well, you know, first games are just always kind of hard to really gauge. I mean, you could put people on notice, but then can they really truly live with success becomes a question. And I think it's a little different when you're playing a FCS HBCU, especially like Miles playing like Alabama State versus playing like a West Alabama from a power conference of Division II. If you think about West Alabama for a second, they only scored 15 points a game last season. They gave up 19 points a game and they were 5-5. So, you know, you talk about, you know, it's about as middle of the road as you possibly can. That's it. You know, they're starting one of the quarterbacks who had a significant playing experience because their top quarterback is gone. He only had a 48% completion rate. So, you know, I think you'd want to see from West Alabama whether one of the quarterbacks that they brought in can do a little bit better than that. But their two leading rushers, where they really made a lot of their production on offense, they're back. And so, you know, this is going to be, you know, a pretty physical game for Miles, based on kind of what we know what West Alabama was last season and what they seem to be bringing back. You know, if you're thinking about what does Miles have, you know, it's kind of similar. They got quarterbacks, running backs, all got pretty good game experience coming back. A stat line that really stood out is, you know, Miles, kind of hard to get them off the field. They were converting 38% of their third downs last season. So, you know, that could make for, you know, one of those type of games that sort of goes back and forth. You know, doesn't come down to special teams. That could be certainly a question. I think this is going to be a bit of a slugfest as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Man, so West Alabama sounds a lot like Fayetteville State. Yeah. You know, you look at those stats, you know, no shade. I mean, it sounds a lot like those stats. So that tells you a little bit about that conference. Let's see. We will let's see what Massey has to say about this game. So I do see folks represented in chat. I do see we have is this like a Blue Bear takeover or something? There's a lot of Livingstone college in the chat. So, hey, you know, it's hey, much respect to them for that. So, yeah, let's see. We got, and I'm pulling up Miles. I guess it would help if I spelled it right. Miles, West Alabama. They've got West Alabama as a 17-point favorite, 31-14. So, yeah, it looks like Miles has their work cut out for them as we continue on. And, yeah, so we will we'll go next to WSSU going up to Bluefield State. Cobe, I will let you hit the clip and then we'll talk about this game after that. Spicy.
You guys played Bluefield State this week. You played them last year here. Big win for you guys. What are your expectations as far as going up there? Not too far away, but just going there, playing there, and obviously knowing, you know, what you guys did to them last year. I'm sure they kind of had this circle for a while. They said the I think they said the rent is due.
30-0. Domination.
That's the goal again?
60-0.
Yeah, for sure. Put numbers on us.
Now, can I speak on it?
So we had this game circle too. So,
well, you know what? They got a new staff up there. Coach Morgan's done a real good job. They're excited. But again, you know, I really feel like this team has been committed all summer, definitely joined camp, and we are committed. We have a mission. And, you know, when you're a good team, you have to be able to win on the road. So we want to go on the road and win in an impressive manner. You know, we want to get out of that game obviously healthy as well. But we're definitely going to play for keeps. So if you're in this dude, we plan for keeps.
Chris, yeah, I was there. You know, obviously, that was the voice. I was the one who asked the question.
Of course you were. Of course you were.
I mean, yeah. So, and they're in the chat hating because WSSU got a clip. Hey, I was there. I live in Winston. I was there. Why would I not put it in there? Yeah. You know, it was, yeah. So we've been seeing this, Chris. You know, we talked about it, a little bit about it over last week. Bluefield State came into the CIAA last year. Our first game of the year, they went to Livingstone and they made themselves right at home on the Bluefield. So they look like, hey, maybe they're going to come in and do something. And then the rest of the year, they didn't. First year, I know you and Kobe, you guys were at the CIAA media day last month when they were picked to finish last. And yeah, and what was the vibe there about them being picked to finish last? I mean, they couldn't be surprised that they were picked to finish last, especially when there was no St. Aug. But what was the outlook? A new coach, a lot of other things. What was the vibe that you got from Bluefield State, and what are you seeing from them?
Well, I think there's a bunch of optimism. You know, you're coming into a new season, new coach, new scheme. You got the ability to practice.
Practice?
Yeah.
We're talking about practice.
Yeah.
Not a game. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, you know, I think also some of the things that were sort of coming up that we're also seeing on the roster was trying to get more talent on the field through the transfer portal. You know, they got some talent from some bigger name schools, but when you kind of look up what they've actually been able to do, really didn't really have a lot of playing time. So, you know, it's kind of, they're certainly a pretty big unknown, but man, that's a roster that was just really depleted, you know, after everything happened with Coxum leaving and a lot of those players leaving. Now, I would also argue that, like, the Livingstone game, they looked a little different because it was a different quarterback who was playing at the time. He has since transferred. Teal stepped in pretty well. He was also pretty green and got better as the season wore on, but man, that's a roster that just Yeah, there's a lot of unknowns there, and I think that's kind of a theme with the teams that are at the middle to the bottom of the conferences, is that there's just a lot of question marks.
Yeah. So there's Bluefield State, the noob in the CIAA. And I see we've got some comments in here. We'll address some of these. What's up, Alonzo? Yeah, you know, you got to keep it stirring the pot. You know, now, Ms. Quick, you can't ask about Livingstone playing WSSU when we're talking about WSSU and then get mad because are we talking about Livingstone or Bluefield versus WSSU? We're talking about Bluefield State. They won one game last year. It was against Livingstone. So they did not win against Winston-Salem State. It was a 30-0 slugfest. How did I know that when I mentioned WSSU, that would stir up our good friend Breaking Down the Bulldogs?
Ah, welcome! Man, we missed you last week.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. We still got another couple weeks before Bowie State takes the field. We'll talk about that for sure. But, yeah, man, a big shout out to him and his YouTube page. Okay, Walter. I'm going away. 30-piece nugget. 30-piece. A 30-piece. And, you know, the video was mentioned. I don't have the video in front of me. But, yes. So, what I'm talking about is that Bluefield State has a hype video for the first game. That hype video consists of its most recent game against Winston-Salem State, in which it lost. Chris, I need the sign from you. Yes. Now they did for their credit. They did mention that it was a crushing defeat. They also made it very hype. Of course, it was the WSSU cheerleaders because they just got them. They just got cheerleaders. And it was the WSSU band, because they're just getting one of those two. And they said that this is the game that everyone's been waiting for. So, you know, hey, they've learned.
Why? Like, so we're now jumping on the bandwagon of, like, everybody wants to play and beat Winston? Like, why?
I mean, Chris, is it wrong? Is it wrong? Is that not the team that everybody loves to beat? I mean, let's just be honest. WSSU. After the commentary, I told Kamar, who I think it was against Bluefield State last year, where he had a 90-yard return and he did a backflip into the end zone that got a penalty. So he does not lack for confidence. Very smart young man. I think he's already got his degree from Raleigh. Very smart young man. He does not lack for confidence. He's a Ram through and through. I love it. And I said, man, you put a lot of pressure on this guy. And I was talking about Dalen, but then his offensive lineman, Keith Quick, was also there. I said, no, he actually put a lot of pressure on you. Because, you know, that's definitely bulletin board material. I mean, they ain't got nothing else to do up there in those mountains but look at the videos when they can get reception. And, you know, I haven't seen a lot of them commenting, but we do know that they did scout WSSU in the basketball season. So, Chris, what's your prediction for this game? You know, WSSU coming off of a 4-win season last year. One of them was against Bluefield State. What are your thoughts? And this is on the road, and they've struggled on the road. What are you expecting to see? And then maybe what are you hoping to see?
Well, I think they're both one and the same. I'm expecting, you know, Winston State has a lot returning, and it seems like they continue to fill in the pieces where they can. And so, you know, I'm kind of expecting to see a little bit more of a dominant performance if they really are back. You know, 30 to nothing. Yeah, do I expect Bluefield to score? Yes, I do expect Bluefield to score. I'm sorry. I just don't take that kind of risk. I do think that they will score, but, you know, maybe a touchdown. I really think that, you know, Winston really needs to come out with a pretty strong showing. 30 points is not enough. if you really, you know, want to show what you can do early on. And so can they do it? I don't know. Winston hasn't really shown a ton of outburst in terms of points like that. They just got to 30. That's not enough for people who are used to more high-flying offenses.
I mean, they did get those 30 on the road, Chris, last year against two of the better defenses in the CIAA, Smith and Fayetteville State.
And didn't what they? Happened in the end?
They lost. But I'm saying they scored. So we shall see. We shall see. We got a prediction from Alonzo. He says that Lee is going for 200 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. So that, you know, they got a big game coming up the week after that. But got to eat your food, because I know that the rest of the CIAA, no matter what they say, especially, and at least breaking down the Bulldogs will admit it, are waiting for them to get humbled again and again and again. Don't count on it, but we shall see. All right, moving forward.
What's the Massey on this one?
Oh yeah, gotta give you the Massey. So Massey has it 31-21 WSSU. So they like Bluefield State to score 21 points at home. You know, 10. You know, so yeah, 10-point win for WSSU. The over under on that was 51.5. Chris, what does your betting ear say?
I don't see Winston scoring 51 points. So
I mean, that's the over.
Saying Bluefield, you know, they might get like 7. So Winston's got to score, you know, a bunch of points to get to that number.
Okay. Well, we shall see. More bulletin board material for Bluefield State. Congratulations on the band and cheerleaders, though. That's really, you're that much closer there. All right, as we continue, key matchups. Let's go to, now we're getting to the good stuff. All right, so we got 3 CIAA SIAC matchups here. We will start off with Virginia Union and Kentucky State. That game will be coming live on HBCU Go, because I was a little disheartened when I heard I couldn't watch it till the next day. This is the defending champions of the CIAA versus a Kentucky State program that last year was on their first year under a new head coach. Chris, what's your read on this game? We know some folks are predicting an upset. What are your thoughts on the Thoroughbreds versus the Panthers?
Who's calling for upset?
Some people. Some people are calling for it. Some people think that there will be an upset. You know, the SIAC, you know, they feel like they are the premier D2 HBCU football conference. You know, I would. What's your read on this game? Are you expecting this to be similar to the WSSU Bluefield State, where you want to see domination, pain, euthanasia? What's up?
I mean,
put the Thoroughbreds to sleep. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
The stable of running backs that VUU has can turn this football game into a horse race, okay? And that's the problem for a team that gave up 34 points last season. I mean, when you look at these stats, you look and see that Kentucky State gave up almost 5 yards a rush. So unless they have addressed that and shored that up, it's going to be Jada Byers left, Jada Byers right, Jada Byers through, Curtis Allen coming through, short yardage touchdowns. I mean, this is not going to be pretty. And let's not forget, this is VUU we're talking about. And you can't talk about VUU without talking about that defensive line, Isaac Anderson. They added Mike Jones, who from Catawba.
Back then, they didn't want him. Now he's hot there all on him.
Exactly. They, you know, you have all these guys that on defense, you know, that's a who's who of a collection of folks. And so, man, I just don't see it. Like VUU has a lot coming back. Yes, there are questions at quarterback on what they need to do. But I mean, when you can lean on the defense like that, and you got one of the best running backs in all of Division II, and you got other running backs that can run for over 100 yards on their own, I just don't see it. Like, that's a seasoned team. Like, that would just be such a big upset that, like, you would just question everything that you've seen over the last couple of seasons. I just don't see that from a Coach Parker coach team.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I do see Kobe said that he could pull up the clip. I'm thinking he can let me know in the chat which clip that was, and we'll get back to that. But before we get to that, there was a clip, Kobe. I do want you to get the Union, the VUU offensive coordinator. That clip should be in there, and I will hear from him.
Challenge, but to be honest with you, our complete, utter focus is on Kentucky State, you know, and we kind of spent our first couple weeks in true training camp focusing on us and how good can we possibly be with our fundamentals, our techniques and everything. But now these last, you know, this past week and moving forward, every single thing we're talking about is Kentucky State, Kentucky State, Kentucky State. You know, we're going to hop on a bus and it's going to be 8-ish plus hours, you know, and we're going to leave early. So it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, they're going to be fired up and they have a really good team. I can just speak for defensively. I think they really fly around and tackle well and run and hit and got a lot of really good players. So, you know, the schedule will be what it is. But to be honest with you, it's just Kentucky State all the way through. And that's what we're preaching our players.
Whoa, Chris, man, an 8-hour bus ride, dog. An 8-hour bus ride, you know. I mean, that's one of those. That's Winston to Lincoln, you know. So that's you. Does that sway you in any way? Does that at least give him? Is that worth some points?
That's life in the deuce, man. 8 hours. I mean, it is what it is.
By the deuce, you mean D2, correct?
That's right. The deuce, the Division II. I mean, that is what it is. I mean, in the end. I'm not concerned about that. I don't think that's worth any points whatsoever. In the end, they got to get off the bus. This is a team that understands and knows the system. Hey, it is what it is. This is not going to be a close game.
Well, let's see what the chat has to say. Dr. Carolyn Anderson, shout out to her, big supporter of HBCUs. She has VUU by 7, so she thinks she has some faith in K.
7?
She is a mathematician, too, so she's probably figured in some odds. I don't know.
We're going to see. To 7. Okay,
all right. All right. We got Ms. Quick says VUU 24, KSU 13. We got a 17-13. We got breaking down the Bulldogs talking absolute craziness. 28-24 talking about some rent is due, sir. We pay rent to one place, and that is the city of Winston-Salem, Bowman Gray. We ain't got it for nobody else. But anyway, he also asked what play for 11 means. I'll answer that. I did find out last year because I was wondering too. I was like, is it like a playoff? I don't know. It's Alvin Parker's favorite Mary J. Blige album. What's the 411? I just didn't know. So it means play for 11, which means you don't play for yourself. You play for the 11 men who are on the team. So play for 11. All right. So you got the CIAA taking that game, Chris. All right. We will go. Let's see what Massey has to say. Because I don't think I got that. And Kobe, if you're going to pull that clip up that you were talking about, if you will put it at the end of the show, We'll come back to it from 801. So let's see. It has VUU, and appreciate everybody for watching. Please, guys, make sure that you are hitting that like button. And yeah, as we continue to go on. So they have this as a 35-17 win for Virginia Union, 18 points. If that would be the score, Chris, what would be your impression? And wait a minute. And KSU is Kansas State, guys. Let's get that together. It's KYSU. Come on. I'm sorry. I'm a little particular about these things, just like Fayetteville State isn't FSU. But anyway.
Oh, don't do that. Oh, gosh. You are really asking for it.
Yeah, Faye State, but go ahead.
I would expect more out of VUU than 35 points. I really would.
You would be disappointed.
I would be disappointed. And I think that they're capable of holding them to less than 17 as well.
Yeah, they smacked somebody with – they put a couple 70 pieces on people before. They also did struggle last year when they went to Livingstone. Now, Byers didn't play that game, but, so we'll see. All right, next game up, we get to Sunday. This is the Hall of Fame game, the Black College Football Hall of Fame game. Winston-Salem State embarrassed the CIAA 2 years ago, losing to Central State. And last year, the CIAA got its face back with VUU smacking around the Maroon Tigers after a tough early first half. Chris, what are your thoughts on this game? We know that Chinnis Berry left, and he took everything except for the tennis, except for the kitchen sink. He took the purple paint off the walls and everything with him to Orangeburg. And Virginia State, here's some rumblings down there in Atlanta about VSU. I got to do some more, investigating before I put out what I heard, because I don't just want to be reporting rumors. But Chris, what are your thoughts about this game?
Man, so VSU, well, let's start with Benedict first. Yeah, Benedict's lost a lot. There's a lot of question marks. I mean, they're going to come out with something. We just don't know how effective that will be. And as it relates to VSU, the starting quarterback's coming back, Romello Williams. But once you get beyond that, and it was kind of nice to see, folks like Keemon Pope, who actually did transfer and came back, on defense. It was good to see, that sort of happening as well. Quite a few wide receivers that are also back as well for VSU, and also offensive linemen who are back. The problem is the running game is unknown. We really don't know if Jameel Williams is really that guy. Now, he was a freshman last year. And is he really the answer, or are they going to have to turn to someone else? There's not really much depth behind Romello, and he got hurt. There's some unknowns there as well for VSU. So, this isn't like this like really heavyweight matchup like it would have been if this game was played last year. But it still should be entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah, big shout out to our guy Kobe, the producer, man. He's out there fighting. Somebody is spamming the chat. Who knows who it is? Who knows who I pissed off already? Just within this show, much less any other time. But shout out to some other folks I see in the chat. Jamie Walker, he says the Benedict dynasty is done. It's like Rockefeller. It is no more. Alonzo says, get the bots up out of here. Yeah, shout out to Cove. Definitely get him out of there. Kelly Flicks, what's up, man? I appreciate you, and I enjoy your coverage. Dickerson is going to run similar offense like Clemson. This scheme is what West Florida Argos ran last season. So, that's talking about the Benedict head coach.
He was at West Florida. So, that means quite a bit of passing.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely, I appreciate everybody. Blue Jackets for Life, who's been in there, I think, since we started. He says he helped Benedict get rid of the purple tiger stripe helmets. Okay. And shout out to Alonzo for reporting as well. Appreciate you guys in the chat. So definitely know the Russians, somebody's not wanting to hear, not wanting D2 HBCU football to be great, but you know what? It doesn't matter. All right. So, yeah, definitely. I think, Jamie, I think everything is kind of hinging on personnel. And again, the way people are playing stuff close to the vest these days with the transfer portal, it's really hard to tell what's what. Cats and dogs lying together, mass hysteria. So we shall see. But Chris, you like the CIAA. So you got the CIAA 2-0 versus the SIAC. Now, here's what Massey says. Massey says that Benedict will win this game. 28-21, 7.5-point spread, 52.5. So, you know.
I could see a game in the 20s for something like this. You know, VSU, I don't necessarily see them as being like this, like, dominant defensive team at this point. I could definitely see, you know, quite a bit of scoring kind of happening. Where I'm really terrified with VSU, and I'm just like, man, y'all can't fix this problem. But that kicking game, it looks real sketchy. Like, man, I just, ooh.
Yeah, man. Me and Kobe were at the Virginia State Virginia Union game earlier this year, man, and it was nasty. I mean, that really caught. I mean, it was flagrantly bad. So breaking down, the Bulldog says last year should have been VSU's year. They blew it. Yeah, man. You know, the high part of their season was coming to your homecoming and stomping with the big dogs, and they came with it. And after that, then they went ahead and lost to Elizabeth City State, and things kind of went south for them. So definitely are going to be interesting there as we go on. And that gives us one more game, Chris. We are almost to the end of the road. VSU won't be number one this year. I can see that. Let's see. And yes, Brett, yes, you guys did do the same to them the year before. I did witness that as well. And I think you guys are their homecoming opponent again. Can you guys stop complaining about being each other's homecoming opponents? Can we just stop making that a thing? Like, y'all love each other. You know, not really. Not like, you know, some schools love each other. But, you know, it's a big game. It's fun. And, yeah, Kobe says that they came into Bowie's trap and took over their trap at homecoming. So, yeah, you know, it's payback this year. So we shall see. And we get to the final game of it. So Tuskegee versus Johnson C. Smith. We get to two of the oldest programs in HBCU football. One of them, a lot of success, tons of success, not as much recently. And the other one is Johnson C. Smith. Yeah, Johnson C. Smith, 7 wins last year, second best in their school's history since 1892. 7 wins. That's their second best. And, yeah, what are your thoughts on this game? Last year's number four team in the SIC, 4-ish, versus the number 4 team in the CIAA. It is the Red Tails Classic. It is Tuskegee. It's basically a home game for Tuskegee. What are you seeing here, Chris? What are you feeling as we see if Johnson C. Smith is really for real?
Well, to me, this is the game of the week out of all the games that we have listed. Yeah, you've got
– all right, we lost Chris for a second, I think, and I did not do anything this time. My hands were below my – my hands – yeah. So just a second, he'll be back in. Let's see. As Kobe claps. Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, as Kobe claps us in. But yeah, so Chris will be back. But yeah, as he says, this is the game of, I would say that this is the game of the weekend. you know, you got two teams who are hoping to be in the championship game. Again, Tuskegee last year didn't quite make it there. This year, however, they have the easiest schedule in the SIC, someone has said, or several people have said. They don't get to play any of the big dogs. They don't. Their path is pretty much written for them. They just kind of have to walk it out. And so it is definite. Again, you have Johnson C. Smith under Coach Flowers last year. As much as I like to joke about them, their program is taking a lot of strides. And they are looking to go to their first ever CIAA championship game. First time in school history. And we do have Chris back. So, Chris, yeah, as you were saying, game of the year and go.
This is game of the week.
Game of the week. Yeah, game of the week. I'm overbilling it a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to bill ESPN for that.
You know, the fact that we have JCSU as the game of the week apparently is not favored by the internet gods, and that's what happened to me there. Nonetheless, the fact that JCSU is really in this spot is pretty remarkable, and what Coach Flowers has been able to do in trying to rebuild build the squad, because, I mean, it's a rebuild. That's, what, 10 years in the making since they've had success even close to this? And you're going up against a storied program who's had a lot of success on their own. And what's really nice about this is that I think this is going to be a game of strengths in particular. JCSU a year ago was actually the statistical champion for total defense and all of Division II. And what they had decided to do on defense, you know, really with trying to stop the run in particular, really stands out the CIAA, a team, you know, conference that tends to favor the run. And you've got now Tuskegee having two running backs in Morris and Woolbaugh, who really great on the ground. And so, you know, really it's going to be what team can pass the ball better. What team can keep a little bit of pressure, off of their running game. And I think that's really going to make the difference, in this game. It's a big test for JCSU, especially. We don't know who's the starting quarterback at this point. They've got some running backs that transferred in. You know, is any one of them going to be able to pick up the slack of what they were able to do on the ground last year? And if so, then I think JCSU may actually have the more balanced offense. But yeah, I mean, I think that this is a pretty big game. The fact that they're on they have their own time slot. Sunday night is awesome.
Okay. Far be it for me to defend Johnson C. Smith football. That's just nowhere on my list of priorities. But breaking down the Bulldogs, come on. You want this, right? So, yes, they were in the CIAA South. But let's be honest. These days, you might want to move to the South if there still was a South. Let's be clear, or maybe you wouldn't, because you went down to Salisbury and you got plastered on the blue turf. Yes, you went to Livingstone and lost to them. And unlike Winston-Salem State University, you guys losing to Livingstone isn't that new of a thing. You know, it was a decade for you guys, so congratulations. And then you had a scare up in, I think it was in Baltimore, in Bowie, against St. Aug. So, you know, you can make your little CIAA South jokes if you want to. We won't even talk about when you guys looked like you were going to steamroll over Winston-Salem State from the CIAA South a decade ago and went back to PG County with your feelings hurt. Now, you guys got better. Shout out to Coach Williams, Coach Sewell, those guys. But, hey, those guys aren't there anymore. So you better enjoy your CIAA South games as well. Be a little easy. I mean, yeah, you guys should be good. There's only four D2 schools in Maryland. I mean, congratulations. We got six in North Carolina, so relax. Anyway, I hate to do it. I hate to do it. So let's get back to Johnson C. Smith, to the Lady Sport Bulls, and let's see. So they have this game as a 3.5 point. There is a 3.5 point spread, and they have Tuskegee winning 24-21. If that were the result, Chris, what would your, you know, does that?
It'd be painful. I mean, because no JCSU is that close. I could see it the other way around, that JCSU wins 24-21 as well. But I think that just tells you how close these two teams are, at least on paper.
And is that an indictment of the two leagues, Chris? Is that an indictment of how close the two leagues might be?
Maybe. But like in the last few seasons, the top of the CIAA has just been better than the top of the SIAC. So I think, you know, where do you find that parity? Is it kind of at that four or five spot, or is it, you know, a little higher, a little lower? But you know, in the last couple of seasons, the CIAA top has just been better. Like you got what, three teams that may be better than JCSU. You know, Fayetteville State's kind of shaky, but Virginia State, Virginia Union, you know, I guess we'll see with Virginia State and both of them, actually. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe if Virginia State steps back, maybe that gets Bowie State, you know, back in that contention there. They weren't far off from it, but they were 6-4 the last couple of years. So, yeah, as we wind down, it's been a lot of fun. What are you laughing at, Chris?
Nothing. I'm just happy that Breaking Down the Bulldogs is back. I'm just so happy.
Yeah, Bowie is coming to Winston-Salem. Yeah, we will see y'all. Salem, Virginia, we shall see. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Coach Jackson's done a great job with the program. It's tough to keep things going. This season three without them, and we'll get into that next week. Season three without a guy like Coach Wilson. It's kind of where things can kind of – wheels can kind of fall off a little bit. We shall see. But we play in East Winston, so there's that. It's Winston-Salem. We're actually two different – anyway. So with that said, Chris, let's go ahead and roll the clip. Someone wanted to see – everybody see the video from Bluefield State. Somebody said Bluefield State. So, you know, we'll roll that clip, and then we'll have final thoughts.
Roll that beautiful footage.
Okay, let's see. Okay, I gotta pull it up. It's on IG. So all right, I got you. Give me 2 seconds. Let's make sure I do that. But any comments you wanna address? I know I'm usually the comment guy. Any you wanna shout out anybody in the chat? Chris, give the chat some love, man. I know you you like to keep it there, but
I'm admiring this confidence about Bowie State. I don't know.
Remember those days, Chris? You remember when you just like, even when it started slipping away, you just couldn't feel, you just felt like, no, this isn't happening to us. This isn't happening to us.
I just, we're in the part of the year of false fall. You think fall's coming, it's starting to cool down. It's also the part of the year of false hope. And I just feel like some of us have a little too much hope and it's going to come crashing down as the season goes.
A little too much dip on our proverbial chip. Yeah, you know, like you say, everybody right now is feeling themselves. They are, everybody's optimistic. Everybody is undefeated. And it's definitely that time of the year. As I pull up this clip and share that. But shout out to everybody who's been in the chat. Shout out to I think it was Yellow Jackets. He's definitely been in the chat big time. Shout out to Breakdown the Bulldog. Shout out to Chanel Quick. Shout out to Dr. Anderson. We also had Kelly Flicks and some other folks come through as well. Here we go. We've got the video. Let me go ahead and share my screen. And as we will give the people, we will give the people what they wanted. Now, the next time we might have to ask for a super chat on this. let's see. Let's yeah. But shout out to Kobe for holding it down. I know I'm gonna get cussed out real good after this, but I earned it. I live with it. All right. Let's see. Let's get to it. All right. All right, let's see. Here we go right here.
Get ready, Big Blue fans. The stage is set for a showdown at Mitchell Stadium. Bluefield State takes on Winston-Salem State. Last year on the gridiron, the Rams handed us a crushing 30-0 defeat. This year, it's about redemption. The Big Blue are hungry, the fans are fired up, and Mitchell Stadium is ready for another classic CIAA battle. Winston-Salem, be ready. The Big Blue are coming for you. Get your tickets now at GoBeastState.com. This is the
game.
All right.
We couldn't see it.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would, I guess it would help if I didn't make it. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Get ready, Big Blue fans. The stage is set for a showdown at Mitchell Stadium. Bluefield State takes on Winston-Salem State. Last year on the gridiron, the Rams handed us a crushing 30-0 defeat. This year, it's about redemption. The Big Blue are hungry, the fans are fired up, and Mitchell Stadium is ready for another classic.
That's not your band. It's not your cheerleaders.
Get your tickets now.
Was that pass even complete?
This is the game.
Was that pass even complete? I love it, though. I love it, you know? I love it. Very, very sleek. Very sleek. You know, we love Bluefield, it. They know.
You know.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say Bluefield's production team is awesome. Their radio coverage is excellent. Even though they, you know, may be on the road, you can still access their radio coverage on the CIAA Sports Network, which I think is like really cool as well.
Yeah, and no, I definitely like a lot of what they do. Even last year when they ended up beating WSSU in basketball, embarrassing. And I made a tweet and I was like, they don't even have a band, they don't even have cheerleaders, and they used that as their caption and tagged me in it. So, you know, man, you guys gotta rep one for your boy. Come on, we gotta get our face back. All right, let's see. We'll get a couple of leads and we'll go. Let's see.
Bruh.
This guy.
He wants us to lose so bad.
This guy. Oh, yes. My bad, Alonzo. Look, man. Like I said, I earned this cuss out this week. All right. Big Blue. Come on now. Let's see. Excellent video. Let's go, Big Blue. Ready? Another classic. They said another one. After they got beat 30-0 is crazy. All right. Chanel Quick says they're amazing. CIAA is king of D2. You know, first Sunday rent is due. Oh, man. This guy. Oh, man. Woof, man.
We need to say
all right, guys. Yeah. Yeah, so if they lose, I'm expecting both of us to be in the video, Chris. We might as well smile for the camera right
now. These guys.
No doom alert this week. There are no doom alerts this week, Chris. We're doom alert free. You think everything's gonna? All right, guys. Well, look, man, we've held Kobe up long enough. We appreciate everybody for hopping in. We are 300 plus. Strong air. Appreciate all you guys doing it. You know, again, we started the show last year. We just wanted to make sure that the D2 folks got a chance to be represented in the space. And so appreciate for everybody who's tuned into every last episode. You know, as you can see, Chris really pours his heart and soul into this when he's not working, when he's also not going to school, because my man's about to be a PhD. And he really puts a lot of time in other places. So I really appreciate that. You know, for me, it's been a crazy week already. We got MEAC and SWAC going on. So I have to deal with that. I kind of wish that there was a CIAA coaches chat. I think that'd be kind of interesting, but it would definitely be more work. Yeah, Dr. D2K Ferg, soon to be. So, yeah, man, Chris, any last thoughts as we get into week zero and these games start to count?
Yeah, there's just a lot going on in week zero, and it's nice to see Division II truly embrace. So, you know, enjoy it. You know, other games start tomorrow, but, you know, our schools, they'll be Saturday and Sunday, and they got two games on Sunday. So that's, you know, take the time to tune into those games and enjoy them.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, yeah, well, I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Please make sure you like, share this, and clip it. Do whatever you guys want. Tag us in all your stuff for sure. And I appreciate you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week to talk about what happened and give a preview ahead. So, yeah, it's going to get fun. Kobe, we'll let you go ahead and take us out with the intro again. And we will see you guys next week. Appreciate it. Peace.
It's SJG D2 HBCU football.
Sleep on Livingstone if you want to, and they can really punish you for it.
Fayetteville State, you know, they're never sexy, but they win.
Sometimes we have to eat our crow, and I got to eat my crow this week, okay?
Doom alert. Yeah, we're back at Heartbreak Hotel, and we're checking back in.
Appreciate it.